This is Driven by Purpose, a show about finding your purpose, building fulfilling careers, and helping people with disabilities live better lives. Hosted by three men who've lived it and are here to help you do the same. Special thanks to our presenting sponsor, Clean Logic, a leading bath and skincare company and a true pioneer in creating inclusive workplaces and increasing employment opportunities for people with disabilities.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Driven by Purpose. My name is Evan Rosenbaum, along with the co-founders of Clean Logic and the Inspiration Foundation. We're here with Mike Gesser.
How you doing, Evan?
And Isaac Shapiro. What up?
What's up?
All right. So today's episode is about starting a purpose-driven business like you guys did 25 years ago with Clean Logic. We should start with the question, Isaac, I'll put this on you. What is a purpose-driven business?
Yeah, purpose-driven business is something that you are passionate about what you're doing and you love waking up every single day and doing what you have to do to basically do a labor of love. And especially when you're doing the startup phase, there's no easy, you know, way of getting around the startup phase and learning. So it's that purpose that, you know, drives you. And, you know, in some cases, you know, I look at it as even what's the impact of the business that you're going to. But again, our shows.
Are we talking about like selling soda cans, or are we talking about something that has like a charitable element to it? Is there something deeper than that, or is it just as simple as something that you're passionate about?
I think it's something you're passionate about. You know, like, hey, I want everybody to create businesses, have an impact, and give back. But that's not for everybody. So what's important for me, what I've always told people as a social entrepreneur, is just follow the passion. And like we said in earlier shows, not everybody's going to start a business. So how do you create a place that people, you provide purpose for people to go to work and want to go to work every day? So I don't want to focus just on myself, because me, it's all about impact and who can you give back and do the change. But I also think purpose is just about being passionate about what you do.
So Mike, when we're talking about purpose-driven business, like, what comes to mind for you when we define the phrase purpose-driven business?
So I like what Isaac said, you know, entrepreneurs having a business that gives people purpose, wanting to join a team that's more than just selling soda cans. But I also think it's okay to have a business that just sells soda cans. But I think for me, it's what type of impact can I have in the world more than just financial? Yes, I want to make a lot of money. Yes, I want the business to be successful. Yes, I want to create jobs, but am I making an impact in the world? And for me, I have tons of purpose. I love what I do. I wake up every day with energy and excitement, but it's more than just making money. It's what impact am I leaving in this world? What is the legacy that me or this business is leaving within the world? To me, that's the purpose. And it's also, I think that the measure of a purpose-driven business is, how does your team feel about it, right? Does your team say, yeah, I want to be part of this. Yeah, I love what these leaders are about. I want to follow them into whatever battle they're going to. And I think to have that, there needs to be more than just sales of soda cans.
Yeah, I hear you on that. So, all right. So a couple of questions for both of you. Number one, when you think about a purpose-driven business, is there a particular business outside of your own that comes to mind that you look up to, that is an inspiration to you, that you kind of want to embody, that you take lessons from?
Great question. There's so many businesses that, yeah, there's so many.
Well, and it's hard because there's a lot of larger ones, but one of the things that I'm finding around purpose-driven businesses, a lot of parents that are leaving their corporate jobs to create a business that they can hire their child to go work. Just like we heard Micah talk about, you know, with his son, they're going to look to start a baseball training company. I mean, we've heard coffee shops being started. So those are the ones that get me excited. So I can't just pick one, because there's so many great small businesses out there that are doing stuff, but, you know, and then you've got, you know, the popular ones out there,
So the ones that I find most interesting and fascinating, and the ones that I respect the most, kind of like what Isaac said, there's a lot of smaller ones out there. There's a company called 321 Coffee. There's a Biddy and Bose Coffee. I think Allbirds did a good job. I think Bombas Socks did a good job. There's so many. It's that business model where the founder truly cares about doing more than just sale of a product, sale of a service. But those are the ones that come to my mind.
Same for me, you know, a big one is Billy Shoes, who was made by a guy God who has a disability, and we buy them exclusively for our daughter because it fits kids with, they're called DAFOs, which are essentially braces for kids' feet. My daughter has CP, so her feet are a little, you know, contorted, but it keeps her feet locked in the proper position. And then to find shoes that fit her foot with the braces on, Billy's were made specifically for that, and they've been a game changer for us. And then on top of that, they hire people with disabilities to do their designs. They are a really amazing company, and we hope to feature their founder on our show one of these days. Okay, so if you're listening to this, and you're like, okay, I know my purpose. I've identified it. I know what I want to do. I want to do X kind of business. What's step one? What's step one, you guys? Is it nonprofit? Is it for profit? Like, what's the best route to do to get your business going?
I mean, listen, we're big advocates for running a for-profit business for purpose. You know, I think it's important that the first thing you're thinking about in your business is you're offering a great product and the consumers want it or a service. And then it's really, can you make money doing that? Because you put a lot of work into it. And what a lot of people, you know, think when you're getting into the, especially that beginning phase, you know, you work for the business. But in the end of the day, when you start a business, the business should work for you. And it's how you set that up. It's how you build the strategy, the business plan. But you really have to really put, I think what's important to do good, you have to do well. And you have to think about a profit model that you can give back, because if you're not taking care of yourself, you're going to get burnout. And Mike and I have been there in the startup phases. Like our accountant said, you know, in our early days, because we were privately funded, you know, we were like a cat with nine lives. We probably went out of business more than nine times, but we were able to keep fighting, keep doing it, because we had that sense of purpose to keep going through the tough times.
What happens when you go out of business? How do you come back from that?
Well, we never went out of business.
We've never been there yet.
We've never been there, but we've been close.
Knock on wood. God bless.
But no, so those are the type of things, you know, like as Brady talked about earlier, you know, with Youth Crew's diaper, you know, he has that thought like, oh my God, what's going to happen? What's going to go next? And I think that's always in the back of the mind of, you know, is this business going to survive? Because that's just part of that instinctive nature or fight or flight that you have as an entrepreneur.
I think one of the things that I've learned throughout this journey is I think there's a couple of very important traits of an entrepreneur. And I would say don't start a business if you don't have these two things. I think the first is self-awareness, right? If you don't know what your limitations are, what you're willing to do, what you're not willing to do, your ability to talk to people, if you don't know who you are and have that type of self-confidence, don't do it. Don't start a business, because you really kind of need to know that to begin with. And I think the second thing that I would say is don't start a business if you're not a lifelong learner, because there's going to be so many things that you encounter on the way and that you're not going to know the answers to, and that's okay. But you've got to always want to learn more and get a new skill or learn something or expand your mind or ask for help. So if you don't have these two things, purpose-driven business, any kind of business, I think you're running down the wrong street on that one. So that's how you start it.
All right. So once you've got it going and you've decided you've picked your purpose-driven business and you've got it going, you got step one, you're looking to expand and do all these things. Let's say the next step is you want to have a charitable component to your business, right? I know for you guys, an important part of my saying it's a charitable part, but it was definitely a part of your business was putting Braille on packaging for Clean Logic because you wanted it to be accessible for people with visual disabilities, and an amazing thing. Let's say when I start my business, I'm, you know, let's go from soda cans to beef jerky because I just had lunch and it was delicious. I want to start a beef jerky business and I want to donate a percentage of it, or I want some of it to benefit a charity or an organization that benefits kids with cerebral palsy. How do you go about weaving that into your business and then making sure that people know about it in a way that doesn't feel like you're exploiting it? Do you know what I mean?
It's simple. Just start your own like we did. When we decided to start Inspiration Foundation, you know, we saw when Susan B. Komen Pink Ribbon was out there, it was just getting hot in the early 2000s. And we wanted to give back to the blind community. But again, we wanted to focus on adaptive technology. We wanted to focus on individuals. So we didn't find what we wanted, but it is a hard road. Especially again in your startup mode, like now you got to start up a nonprofit, you got to start up, your business. And we were fortunate because we kept the nonprofit small, doing tech grants. Well, we were already connected in the blind community to help us, you know, build that network, you know. So, you know, if you're going to go out and look for a giving component, you really got to make sure, you know, you're partnering with the right nonprofit. Is it the right cause that's going to be connected to your brand? And I think another thing that Mike and I have learned a little bit is even just being careful about how sometimes a mission might be misunderstood. So we sell exfoliating bath and skincare tools, and we've had people come in thinking that we make bath accessories for people with disabilities. So again, when you think about that mission-driven component, you know, you want to make sure it's not overpowering the product that you're sure. product or service that you're selling.
I think the other thing I would add to that is, assuming not everybody is as crazy as Isaac and I, and you find an existing charity or mission or purpose for you, if your plan is to be able to give, you know, a portion of your profits or a portion of your sales to this organization, you need to run your financials and you need to make sure your financial model allows you to do that. And you need to be comfortable being able to adjust, because if you can't build your business early and maintain profitability and have enough cash to grow, you're never going to be able to do as much good as you hope to. So it's okay to start with a little bit in the beginning. Don't feel like you need to give all this money if it doesn't sound, you know, magnificent. Something is better than nothing. And as you continue to scale your business and scale it profitably, you can always give more and do more. And I think early on, one of the things that I had was this, I wanted to give a lot of money. And I know Isaac wanted to give a lot of money. And, you know, small businesses, like early stage businesses, have very different needs than later stage businesses, cash flow needs. You might show profit, but if you don't have cash to pay your bills, you can't give it to an organization.
Right.
So you got to be patient and you got to think about the long run, but build your financial models to include what you'd like to do. And therefore, it's always in your plan and you can follow that path to get there.
Mike brought up a really good point around, how much, because I think when you're purpose-driven, you know, again, we started out in our early 20s, 30s, 40s start to change. We talked about this even, you know, hiring. When you go work for a job or a place, you want to align with values. And Evan, you said you wouldn't work for someone that didn't have a family. And so I think that same application applies to when you're starting out, you want to give everything. So we're in our 20s, you know, we didn't have families and thinking about, you know, how we're going to pay for things for our kids. So for me, it was always like, I want to give more and I can sacrifice more, and didn't understand that early. So I think the key, like Mike said, is, you know, focus on your profitability. You know, there's so much pressure, like, well, they're doing 1% of their revenue. They're doing 5% of their revenue. And so we've really settled on, hey, we're giving a percentage of our profit. We're a privately held company. We tell you how much we give, but we're not over here, you know, trying to, you know, put ourselves out of business. And I think that was one of the hardest things for me, because I always wanted to be the guy that's, you know, giving those big checks, you know, with $1 million on it. But it's been the reality. And I think you just, You have to be in it for the long term and, you know, be proud of it, of what you're giving. Even if it's not a lot, you're still giving something.
Well, so on that note, like, what is the, you know, if you're a typical business, and I'm asking you guys for your financial breakdown or anything like that, but like, if you're a typical business, like what's, and you're a purpose-driven company, and what does the average company allocate to charitable initiatives and stuff like that?
Well, I could speak for ourselves. I mean, for us, again, Mike and I have, as we've become more late stage, we're trying to define it, but we just actually had this conversation earlier. It's, you know, we're giving something and as part of our profit, we say it's percentage of our profit. And for us, you know, we just try to make sure that we can take care of our employees, keep our quality there. So we feel what's best to run the business and then we announce what we're giving out. And so that's where we haven't felt, we haven't gotten into the pressure of like, well, what's your percentage? What's this? Because everybody wants to do that, especially now that even the investment they're putting into hire individuals with disabilities, you know, and really, you know, going through that and bringing those components in. So we're focusing on running the business and the mission of now hiring individuals with disabilities. So it's evolved for us, but it's hard for us to come to us. And it's something that's been hard for me because I've always been like, Mike, we need to put a percentage, or people are asking us what percentage, but we've stayed consistent that, hey, we're giving every year, we provide tech grants, this is what we're doing. And we'll continue to evolve what we're trying to put out there.
So let's talk about risk, right? Because this is something that like every business owner likes to talk about, the risk part. Or maybe, I don't know if they like to talk about it or they don't, but it's something that's it's in every conversation. Was there ever a time when you guys were deciding on things, like for you guys, when you guys were adding Braille to packaging, did it make it harder for you guys, like operationally or financially? And if so, like, how did you overcome those obstacles? Was it a combination of just like being creative, or was it just, you know what, it's worth the risk, we're going to do it because it's part of the DNA of what our company is?
No, we've been calculated. So we've been fortunate where we haven't had to make this decision again, where it's either the mission or the business. We've really tried to ingrain it. You know, so when we first started Clean Logic, we actually had bottles of body wash and we put the Braille in the mold of the packaging. Now that mold was very expensive. That bottle was actually, it would cost more than the liquid inside because it was a nice fancy bottle in the mold, yeah, and the Braille. And then, but our core products and the exfoliating products were in poly bags and we tried to put Braille, but it made the packaging look, you know, we put stickered Braille on to the silver bags that we had at the time. And that didn't look great. So that's where, fast forward, we did the rebrand. We said, hey, we want to continue to look at our mission and double down on the mission and make it clear to the consumer what we do. So we decided to take everything out of poly bags, put them on and, you know, sleeves or cardboard sleeves that we can emboss Braille on all products. So it's been an evolution because we always want to do it, but we've always made sure to protect the business because that's the lifeblood of the mission.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, you know, now that you guys have reached a point where, you know, you've been in business for 25 years and you guys are at this place where you guys have not only done amazing things with your company, but you've started the Inspiration Foundation, which is a mission where you're looking to increase employment for people with disabilities by 10%. You're creating the Inspiration Seal, which lets consumers and people who are shopping know that this product was made by a company that hires people with disabilities, stuff like that, which is all amazing stuff. Like, what's next for you guys? Like, you know, with your purpose-driven business, like, you continue to evolve the purpose?
100%. I mean, I feel like every day we're trying to just double down and, you know, get bigger and what we're trying to do. You know, we're working with a goal, you know, as we see the geopolitical climate changing with tariffs, we're bringing more jobs back to the U.S., bringing more machinery to do more. So we're hoping to hire an additional 40 employees in 2026. That are individuals with disabilities. And I hope it's not just in production. We want to, again, look at this across our sales, our marketing team. That's what I think is the next piece. It's not just, you know, assembly work or production, because there's all you know, types of high functioning, low functioning disabilities that we want to be there. And even there's disabilities that people don't see, you know, that most people didn't even know. As I mentioned in our episode, you know, before with our production staff, 40% of our individuals disclosed with a disability. When we did a survey at the end of the year, 54% disclosed, and that was, you know, outside of our production facility. So wow. Again, not all disabilities are visible, and that's, you know, where we're proud to get more and more people to even disclose, you know, what they might have, and it's okay to do that.
Yeah. All right. So finally, before we wrap this thing up, my last question is, you know, you guys have obviously had success with your company, and, you know, you guys have been through it all. If you had to tell, you know, young versions of Mike and Isaac, all right, look, here's some advice. Like now, like if you could get in your time machine and go back and tell young Mike and Isaac, like, all right, here's the most important piece of advice that you need to know before we get going on this journey. What is the advice that you would give yourselves?
Join a peer group. Find other like-minded CEOs that you could learn from and be part of a group and be willing to ask questions, share your stories, ask for help. There's so much value out of it. Something that you've been through, somebody else in your group hasn't, or somebody else is going through. Something that you've never been through, somebody else is going through, and somebody already has gone through. There's so much value in being in a great peer group.
That's great advice.
No, that was a great advice there. I would even kind of add a little bit more, like business coach, you know, getting someone that's really helping you, which is through these peer groups. You know, I think for me, when I look back, you know, I think about invest in people, think about how you can grow so you're not always having to work in the business. There's this thing that you have as a social entrepreneur and you start a business that it's your baby and no one's going to know it better than you. And, you know, I don't want to hire someone because I don't trust this person, you know, to manage money. So really, you got to build a team. I wish we did that. We would have grown much further. And maybe just even a personal story, you know, we didn't have enough money. We started with $5,000 in this business. And, you know, as we mentioned, eating That's dollar awesome. Fish sticks and surviving. But one of the things we always said, with that divided Mike and I's like responsibility, hey, your sales and marketing, your ops, Mike, was we didn't hire a salesperson. So for years I went out and called on everybody, and it's great. I know everybody in the industry now, but if we hired and maybe look back, and we probably wouldn't have spent as much time building the business if we just hired a great salesperson that would help us build, and they knew the business better than I did. Whereas I had to, you know, read a book on like, oh, there's a store in Kansas City named Price Chopper. I'm going to go try to call on them. So build a team. Don't build the business around yourself. I wish I learned that early. You always hear it. And we just didn't do it. And I was stubborn in some cases. And, oh, we can't get the right people. This is what happens. And now it's just a completely different business that I wished we would have done that a lot sooner.
Yeah. Hire people better than you.
I am not a CEO. I have not run my own company. But what I would give my advice to myself when I was younger is basically chill, bro, and try to enjoy a little bit more of the process. You know, what you're doing when you're young and you're growing a business, whether you own it or you're just, you know, creating a brand and growing it, you're young once, enjoy it. You're doing something really cool. It's meaningful. And when you have success, even if it's just a little bit, it's okay to take a moment to sit back and celebrate even just a tiny success. It's okay. You don't have to, you know, you have to spike the football and go crazy, but just appreciate those moments along the way. I think that's something I wish I could have told my younger self that I'm doing a better job of now. All right.
Hey, that's and one last year. Thing. Remember to document it. I wish we had so many more stories and pictures of the things that we did. Cause especially in the day of social media and storytelling, we would have so many great pictures if we, and storytelling, if we could actually have
those
pictures.
Well, you only had $5,000 and a Polaroid camera was super expensive back then. So look, man.
I had my flip phone back then.
Yeah, exactly. You have your flip phone now. I've seen it. You text like this. Anyway.
Hey, that's me on social media.
That's good to do it for us here. Driven by Purpose. Remember, if you like the episode, if it affects you, if it impacted you, go ahead and follow us on social media. Send it to friends. Tell people about it. Subscribe, like, comment, all that good stuff. We appreciate you. Thank you so much for watching and supporting us as we continue to grow. And we will see you next time.
Thank you.
Driven by Purpose.
Thank you.